The following is a New Age Insiders Entertainment production. Get ready. The revolution will be streamed. Welcome to... No. You're crazy.
What have we learned? What have we already learned? We've learned that we are made to be controlled. Designed to take orders, to fear, to follow. You're supposed to go to work. You're supposed to buy a car. You're supposed to get married. You're supposed to pay your taxes. You're supposed to get fat, and you're supposed to die. We already know. And now we're going to figure out exactly how deep it goes. When you believe what you're told, when you live in fear and uncertainty, when you were born to follow. My code name is Jason Molotov. I find myself here in a remote location I will not reveal for my security and quite frankly for yours as long as this transmission holds. On twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, I will try to bring you the information that I have gathered for years. The last Thursday of the month, right here on the New Age Insiders while their feed maintains. False flags. Governments, conspiracies, how does it pertain to you, to your world, to a time we live in the modern, the now? How can old rumors, things from 50, 60, 70, 100 years ago possibly pertain to everyday life? Now there are cameras, there are libraries, there's wells and sources of information, there's history. Clearly you can't be duped in a modern world of television and radio, of internet, of grand information exchanges? Or can you? For centuries, governments have had operatives within their own cells. They have implanted things within their own barriers, within their own borders. Catastrophes, disasters, attacks. Because it serves their prerogative in the long term. For centuries, the Romans would set fires within their larger buildings. The Colosseum once burned. Rumor has it that it was the invading armies, the neighboring countries, the enemies of the Roman people. Who started those rumors? The government. The people that started the fires so they could invade. You have an enemy. They're over there. Listen to me. I am one of you. I am your leader. I am your elected official. I am the one you trust. I am the one you follow. I am the lead dog in the pack, and I would never let you down. Why? Simply because I said so, and that's the way it is. Your parents told you to listen to me. That is instilled deep within you. My office, my rank, my authority, my title supersedes all. I am trustworthy based on the position I hold. I am the leader of this government, therefore I am to be trusted complicitly. Police officers, teachers, priests, government officials, your elders, whatever your parents instilled in you as the irreparable, do not argue, they are the end-all be-all. You listen to your teachers, you listen to the police, you listen to your principal, you listen to your boss, you listen to your elected officials and your leaders. They are telling you the truth, they are always right, and if you question that, or if you hear rumblings of questions, of rumors, of misconceptions, it's just that, it's falsehoods. They are the authority figures, and they are correct. They will always be that way. It's not about the teacher's name. It's simply about the fact they are a teacher. It's not about the president's name. It's simply that he is the president. And to ascend to such a rank comes with a level of trust. So anything can happen. And this figure, this office, this title, this mystique, this history makes you feel at ease. Because how much harder is it to question everything you've ever been told? Things that perhaps make no sense at all have to make sense for your mental stability, for your comfort, for your safe space, for your little bubble, for your world, your little world you think that you are in control of, and you are not. But it's so much easier to believe that the people in charge have your best interest at heart. And if you stick your fingers in your ears and you close your eyes and you don't perceive the world around you for what it is, you'll be led anywhere simply because another human being, another very fallible person just like you, told you so. That is a human trait that does not just rest in you. That is within your DNA, that is in your code, that is who you are, that is your species. To follow the leader. Your parents are the first instinctual follow. You see them, you do what you're told. They bring the food, they provide the shelter, they are your source of comfort. What they say must be true. And they've told you to listen to your authority figures, because their parents told them that, because they were told by their parents. And all the way down the line, it starts with the authority figure in their life. Deeply rooted in your family's history, generations ago, perhaps it was a king who told you that he was right, because I am the king. And you always listen to the king. That is not different with an elected president. That is not different with a monarchy, with a parliament, with a Congress, with a dictatorship. You're supposed to question your leaders. You're supposed to fight for what you believe in. Your elected officials are supposed to work for you. Their job is to represent their people, not to rule you, not to control you, not to go against your wishes for the sake of jurisdiction that makes no sense for you and your family. But you follow and you listen. And it's people like me that know that following any human being blindly will lead you to your doom. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when you have no checks and balances, when you control the army, you control the authorities, you control the police, you control the sheriffs, you control the tax collectors. Pick any time, any century, any continent, and it never changes. You have leaders that become rulers because you let them. Because one man can sit on the right chair and give orders that you're just supposed to follow. And so you have to, and so you do. We've talked before on this show that the only actual laws, the only actual things that are real, that are have to, that are musts, are physical laws. The laws, the physical. My hand will not go through this object because the laws of physics do not allow it. So it will not happen, because that's how it goes. If the ceiling were to fall on top of me, which it might if they're listening, the physical laws, the physical properties of the earth and body I occupy will result in my demise, because that's how physics works. That's how anatomy works. Those are laws. If a man uses his voice and says, go do something, there is no actual chain of events. There is no chain reaction. There is nothing that will make you carry out the orders. But you do it. There could be hundreds of you that have a boss that is being unfair, unjust, and you just do it. He has no actual control, no actual authority. The money in your pocket has no actual worth. The food in the ground that you could grow on your own is how you could actually survive, but you don't. You don't think about building your own shelter and growing your own food and collecting your own water and learning how to fish and living off the land like people did for thousands and thousands and thousands of years before Western civilization dictated what your everyday life had to be. Those are the laws. You need to eat and you need to survive. You do not need a car. You do not need a certain home. You do not need the stuff that you pine and slave over to get just enough sleep to wake up to be able to go back to work to afford it. You are controlled every day. And every day you are told what you need to be told to wake up and get in your car and go to work. We've talked about this. Genetically, your composition from alien influence, you are the stars around you. The most abundant elements in the universe are oxygen, nitrogen, and hydrogen. And you are made of oxygen, nitrogen, and hydrogen. You are the stars. You are the stars. And you are designed to follow orders. And for thousands of years, you have refused to break the pattern. So here we are. What makes you think that the same line of thinking where hundreds of years ago, when Rome was caught setting fires to their own buildings so you would fear an invisible enemy so Roman interests could spread throughout the world, what makes you think that that line of thinking, what makes you believe that the same synapses that fire out of fear and frustration and a sense of a longing for comfort and stability and normalcy, what makes you think that's not within you right now? How dare you think you have evolved past people that lived in at one point the greatest civilization on earth, which is exactly what you believe you live in right now. The height of society, of technology, of everyday life was the Roman Empire. Knowledge, information abound, the smartest people. And they fell for it. And they believed the people they were programmed to follow blindly. In 1964, there was an incident that led the American people to send ground troops to Vietnam. We've talked about Jack Kennedy. We've talked about how Jack Kennedy didn't want to go into Vietnam. We've talked about how Lyndon Johnson wanted to send ground troops into Vietnam, wanted American interests involved in a civil war that JFK found to be none of our business. In 1963, John F. Kennedy was shot in public like a dog for not doing what he was told, for not following orders, and for not going with the plan. The Gulf of Tonkin was an incident. Lyndon Johnson in 1964, Lyndon Johnson, the then president of the United States, sworn in after the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He interrupted TV broadcast shortly before midnight to announce that two U.S. ships in the Gulf of Tonkin had come under fire in international waters. And in response, the president described as an unprovoked attack, air action is now in execution. It would be a matter of time before America sent ground troops to Vietnam. Just like JFK didn't want, and what he wound up dying for. And it was later proven that in the Gulf of Tonkin, U.S. ships were not under attack. That U.S. soldiers were not in danger. And that was a lie. So the American people would be afraid. And the American people would do anything for retribution. How dare you attack United States ships? How dare you attack us? This is America. We don't stand for attacks. You attack one of us, certainly our troops, and you attack us all. So if the Gulf of Tonkin happened because the president said so, then to Vietnam we shall go. Look up the events of the Gulf of Tonkin. Look up the fact that those ships were not attacked. Look up the fact that thousands of mothers lost their children in a war we didn't belong in, based on a lie, a proven lie. It is not conspiracy. It is not tinfoil hat. The Gulf of Tonkin incident was a lie. And it riled up the American spirit, and it riled up the American people, and they said, well, damn it, then we need to do something about this. And so we did. With full support. That war lasted over 10 years. Thousands died. And they died over a lie. Over a lie. In the 1960s. You know, like when your parents were alive. This isn't ancient history, folks. This is the world you live in. You were lied to. You're always lied to. Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. The Twin Towers are attacked. Around 8:30 a.m., a flight hits one of the Twin Towers in New York City in downtown Manhattan. America's skyline will never quite be the same. Within a half an hour, Americans were shocked to see a second plane hit the second tower. The Pentagon had been struck by an airplane. Rumor has it planes were being shot down and landed all over the country. Fear. Fear in which people who did not live through another American tragedy of recent memory had never experienced before. A kind of fear that had been experienced in the 1940s, late 1930s. A fear that had been experienced by the American people on a day that shall live in infamy. America had no business, technically, getting involved in the Second World War. It was a war in Europe. They had no particular interests, and America was looking for a reason to jump in this thing, become the Allied forces that we needed to be, and basically save the world. And on a day that will live in infamy, in Pearl Harbor, at a naval station in Hawaii, America was attacked by kamikaze pilots from the Empire of Japan. It is now all but known that the President of the United States knew that those planes were coming and allowed it to happen and let them come. Why? Because if America could be attacked, if there was something visual, if there was something concrete, if there was something to point to be outraged over, then we can do anything. And we can go anywhere, and we could justify it. There's no way that Roosevelt didn't know that they were coming. We have the best intelligence in the world. Even in the 1930s, we would have known the trip from Japan to Hawaii was coming. We let it because we had to get involved. We fast forward back to 2001, a time where many people who experienced Pearl Harbor, who obviously experienced Vietnam, who have now experiencing a visual catastrophe at which the United States has never seen before. In clear color television, the United States is being bombed and is under actual real attack. The President of the United States, your leader, who can do no wrong and tell no lie, is George W. Bush. What's important to note about George W. Bush is he made American history by becoming only the second man to ever be the son of a president and a president himself. Two presidents prior was his father, George H. W. Bush, a one-term president of the United States. Most historical scholars will tell you that one of the reasons, the main contributing factor to George H.W. Bush only being a one-term president was his failures in the Gulf War in Iraq. George H.W. Bush vowed to capture and obtain Saddam Hussein by any means necessary and end the struggle in the Gulf. He's also set a mandatory out. He had a deadline. If we don't get Saddam Hussein by this time, we're pulling our troops. He was advised by General Schwarzkopf and several other high-ranking officials that they could get him, but they were about a week away. And H.W. Bush pulled his ground troops, and America left the Gulf without Saddam Hussein. Remember that. It is an enormous contributing factor to why his presidency was not considered a great success and why he was not reelected, which is rare for an American president to not be reelected, as scary as that is. Flash forward to George H.W. Bush, his son, George W., the 43rd president of the United States. And what did George W. Bush have as a prerogative right away? War. Who was his vice president? Dick Cheney, the active CEO of Halliburton, someone who stood to make a personal profit of over $50 million just by accepting an out from Halliburton, the world's largest weapons manufacturer, to become the vice president of the United States. He had business interests in Halliburton that he maintained. He obviously had friendships and connections that he maintained. And the CEO of the largest weapons manufacturer on earth, who had a no-bid contract status with the United States Department of Defense for their weapons, was now in charge of everything. A weapons monger with something to gain is now in charge of everything. On Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, when those buildings were struck by aircraft and the Pentagon was supposedly reportedly struck by an aircraft and a field in Pennsylvania had the rubble or debris of a plane that was shot down heroically that was on its way to the White House, history was made in each and every situation. All four impacts are historical in aviation, in earthbound physics, in basic science, in complex science, in common sense. Something historical went down in each incident, because buildings in New York City are not designed to be hit in the top third and free fall weightlessly to the ground. There, if you watch the supposed theory that the structural beams of the building were soaked in rocket fuel, and that rocket fuel was so hot that they melted, and rather than the building swaying or bending or giving out in a much more traditional fashion of melting, no, this sucker just free-falled. Almost like it was a controlled demolition. It's almost as if they pulled that building. It's almost as if it makes no sense at all that two buildings hit near the top would just structurally give way to dust. To dust. Not to large pieces that fell and broke off, not to a large standing shell, not to a fire that burned for maybe days as an actual freestanding building before, you know, at least hours upon hours before this massive, well-insured building would crumble to pieces. If you watch the slow motion, watch the replay, watch the building come down, watch and you'll see on the sides, a window blows out, the floor goes down. Window blows out, the floor goes down. That is a free fall. You have to understand with demolition, with buildings, with how it works. A building is not hollow. They're structurally sound. They're supported with large beams. They're solid objects. They have voided space for people to be able to walk around and maneuver through. They're not a completely solid object. But there's something just in basic science called resistance. And if you were to take this water bottle and crush it, it would be a series of crushes. It would go down. It would crumple and then crumple and then crumple and then crumple because there's resistance. There's more and more pressure being built as the materials condense. A floor of a building gives out and it condenses and it falls and it condenses. At some point, there is a series of resistance that would stop this weight from free falling into dust. And if you watch those towers fall, there is no resistance. Zero. They crumble. They crumble to dust. That is how you bring down a building in a controlled demolition. That is how, when it's time for an old movie theater to go, when it's time for this mall to hit the road, watch a controlled demolition. It starts with the roof and it collapses with no resistance because the bombs, the explosives within, are designed to blow the guts out. You blow the guts out, and it all comes down. And you watch those towers fall, and they blow the guts out, and the building comes down. And they blow the guts out, and the building comes down. And you blow the guts out, and the building comes down. Perfectly. They fall at like 29 minutes apart. You couldn't ask for a better example of a live, controlled demolition than the Twin Towers coming down that day in New York. That is not how buildings fall. But you were told by all the right people that that's just how it happened that day. There is a hotel across the street from the Twin Towers that stands today. Those buildings fell at free fall speeds. The hotel across the street that took significant damage stands today. But you know what building doesn't stand today? Building 7, World Trade Center Building 7, that was 300 yards away. That is 3 football fields away. Came crashing to the ground with zero resistance at free fall speeds. You look at the contents of Building 7, gold deposits, Whitewater investigation records, not Watergate, Whitewater, look that up, and the powerful people involved in that and just went away. Stock records, important filings. They're just gone. The hotel across the street from the buildings that freefall stands today. And Building 7, with important information that just needed to go away, is gone. The Pentagon was reportedly struck by a 757 that several Blue Angels, experienced naval pilots, Air Force pilots, Marine pilots, people that have flown at all different rankings and levels of the military have said those are maneuvers that they would be unable to pull off themselves. The plane that hit the Pentagon disappeared. You want to talk about how that's this particular piece of history? Why wasn't the Pentagon gone? Why didn't the plane that the story goes that a 757, which needs lift and drag to remain airborne, lifted about a foot off the ground, came in sliding, and about a foot off the ground glided and then hit the Pentagon. It left a hole about 8 feet deep and about 20 feet wide, and then the plane evaporated. You didn't see, you won't find a single picture of that day of 70 to 80 to 90% of an airplane sticking out of that Pentagon. There should be a plane on fire, half sticking out, mostly intact, because there's an 8-foot hole in the building. So where's the goddamn plane? If it slid into a building, why didn't it keep on going? Why didn't it get halfway through even a reinforced government building. So that's your story, right? Well, it's the Pentagon, man. It's meant for a plane to hit it. It's not, but okay. Then why didn't that plane smack into that thing and have half its ass sticking out? Where are the engines? Where's the tail fin? Where are the wings? Where's the airplane that's supposed to be sticking out of a building because it left an 8-foot hole? Where's the airplane? How did we make scientific history? What a day. What a loophole in earthbound physics Tuesday, September 11, 2001 was that there's not a goddamn plane sticking out of that building. Because you know what hit the Pentagon? A missile. You know how you can prove it? The gas station tape from across the street. There's a 24-hour gas station with a 24-hour surveillance camera that happens to have one of the cameras pointed where the impact was. That video is public knowledge. You can find it yourself. And all you're going to see is a shot of a building, and then all of a sudden, something explodes. You do not see a plane come flying in and make an impact. Now you're scratching your head thinking about it. Gee, goddamn, I don't think I've ever actually seen a video of the plane hitting the building. And there should be buildings, video cameras all over Washington, D.C., right? Especially a government building. How did they not get a video of that thing coming in? How is that possible? Huh, how come I've never seen a video of the plane hitting the Pentagon? Weird. Weird, huh? Weird how videos were confiscated from all over the area. Weird how you can watch that building just boom, a bomb, a missile, something. But an airplane, a 757, a commercial airliner traveling from Boston to LA, did not fly into that building that day. The field in Pennsylvania. The story goes that there were a group of passengers in the plane. They were talking to loved ones on the ground, being told what was going on. And being told that, yep, we're being hijacked and this is what is happening. And then they commandeered the cockpit, overtook the terrorists, and crashed the plane so they couldn't hit the White House. It's a great story. It didn't happen. Because if you look at that field in Pennsylvania, there's no plane. That one, for the fourth time in this anomaly of a day, made physical earthbound history by being a plane that hit a field and then evaporated. Turned to vapor, gone. Google image any plane crash in history. Guess what you see? A plane. Most of it. There's an engine. There's fin. There's a rear fin. There's wings. There's a cockpit. There's a black box. There's an airplane. Because it's a large metal structure that's not designed, believe it or not, to vanish on impact. It's not how they're built anymore. They changed them. Now airplanes don't disappear. Neat. But that day in that field in Pennsylvania, when reporters showed up and said, gee golly, I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing here. I don't really see a plane. But guess what they did find? Guess what they found? A passport. Whoa, we got a terrorist passport. So cloth and metal and steel and plastics, nothing survived. Luggage, human remains, nothing. Nothing could survive this crash except for the most resilient material of them all, paper. If you choose to believe that and call me crazy for not believing that a plane disappeared and left a piece of paper behind, okie doke, keep doing what you're told. Keep listening. Keep following. Keep it up. George H.W. Bush's greatest failure was not capturing Saddam Hussein. George W. Bush's primary goal was to atone for his father's mistake and to obtain Saddam Hussein and right that wrong for his family. His vice president, the man actually in charge, is the former head of the largest weapons distributor in the history of the world. September 11th, 2001 is full of physical and common sense anomalies. There is a motive and a reason why they want to go to Iraq. The Twin Towers had already been bombed once by Saddam Hussein, by Osama bin Laden, a few years prior. There was a van that was driven into the basement of the World Trade Center, and it actually detonated and it exploded. So there had been an attack on the Twin Towers from Osama bin Laden a few years prior. There's your source of reference. All right, we're starting to concoct a story here. What do we do? How do we get to Iraq? Everything in America is doing all right now. So how do we get the people to get to Iraq? How do we justify it? How do we get over there? Because I got to go capture somebody, because I got to right wrongs for my daddy, and you got to go sell a whole bunch of weapons. So how do we get over there? We create a panic. We stoke fear. We show you an invisible enemy, and you will do anything for us to go and right this wrong, for anything for us to get retribution. Does that sound familiar? That we will create a lie to incite fear, to incite passion, to get you to riot, to demand that we go fight this war based on a lie. Does that sound familiar? So what do? We create a spectacle, one like you've never seen before. And we convince you that pilots that had failed flight tests on crop dusters when they attempted to get their pilot's license, that were trained in caves in Afghanistan and Pakistan, came over here and pulled off some of the greatest moves in the history of aviation when they were unsuccessful crop dusting pilots, when they defied basic structural integrity laws of physics and had helped buildings fall at a free fall plummet. That's what you believe. You believe a 757 left an 8-foot hole and not a big ass plane sticking out. You believe that there's a field in Pennsylvania with nothing left of an airplane but a passport. That's what you believe, because that's easier and that's more comfortable for you, because you are of a breed that refuses to believe that the people in charge might be wrong or lying to you like they always, always have been. The Gulf of Tonkin didn't happen, and thousands of American men and women died. Thousands of Vietnamese men and women died. Thousands. A generation was shaped by a lie. The 60s and 70s, the protests, everything you think of when you think of Vietnam was a lie. Your father might be traumatized. Your grandfather, your family members might have long-lasting, irreparable damage based on a lie that your president told you and you just believed. And you got mad and you wanted revenge, because it's a flaw of our species that we gotta get even. And so we did. Because of a lie. A terrorist group that started in Afghanistan, that was harbored in Pakistan, that had never come from Iraq, even in the bullshit report. And the next thing you know, we're in Iraq. A small splinter cell terrorist organization from Afghanistan, harbored in Pakistan. Why are we in Iraq? Why are we in Iraq? That was 2001. We're still there. Why? Because we had to get Saddam Hussein, which we did. He hung publicly. He's dead. Bush got what he wanted. Cheney and Halliburton got to sell weapons to the American government and the Department of Defense. Airplanes, aircraft carriers, guns, armored cars, battle armor, trillions, billions upon billions, probably ultimately trillions of dollars to be made long-term off the contracts, the no-bid contracts from Halliburton, where the vice president has financial interests. So the president got what he wanted and made his daddy proud. The vice president got what he wanted and made millions in personal wealth off of devastation. The Patriot Act got signed, which gets to tap your calls, pipe on your information. You have no privacy anymore. Your laptop, your webcam, it's on. I promise, it's on. And it can all get justified and funneled back to this Patriot Act. Why? Because you were mad. Because you were afraid. Because you were angry. Because you saw an attack on your country from an invisible enemy you'd never heard of. And now, oh hell yeah, we got to get over there. What is it, Mr. President? We got to go to Iraq even though it makes no sense at all and they didn't do it or support it. But they're also in that part of the world and I just hate everything. So yeah, get over there. Bomb them all. Turn it into a parking lot. Carpet bomb them. Pave the road. We heard that for a decade. Because you were afraid. And you were angry. Because somebody else had to be responsible. It couldn't be for the president's agenda. It couldn't be to pass the Patriot Act and keep you in a tight little bubble. It couldn't be to make more restrictions on airlines. It couldn't be for there to be surveillance cameras on every block in this country now. It couldn't be to sell weapons. It couldn't be, right? It had to be untrained crop dusters in a cave that pulled off aviation marvels and then defied physics. Because it couldn't be that the government let kamikaze pilots attack Pearl Harbor. Oh, wow, we did get into World War II, though. And then after World War II, because every part of the world was so devastated, but America was basically on its own and almost an island away from the actual main conflict, well, you know what happened after World War II? Well, America was the Earth's only remaining superpower. Japan, England, France, Germany, in ruins. China, still incredibly isolated from the world. It's the 1940s. So, son of a gun, America found a way to be the good guys, and then, while the rest of the world is just rebuilding from rubble, we've got the greatest economy on Earth. Good thing we got involved in that war. Oh, Jack Kennedy, you want to focus on the middle class and workers and liberties, and you want to put a man on the moon and not send ground troops to Vietnam? Well, you got to get out of here, because then the Gulf of Tonkin incident is going to not happen, so we can lie to the American people, emergency status, emergency broadcast status, so you can be afraid. So we'll send your sons and daughters and brothers and sisters, and we'll just send them off to die, because there's an interest involved, because we can sell weapons, because American influence can be gained, because we can turn a profit on war, because we can have population control, because if 10,000 young strapping guys get on out of here and die, well, that's 10,000 good jobs that are out there. Population control and war have been economic stimulus packages for countries since the days of Greece. Make no mistake about the impact of war on economies. It's shockingly, grotesquely positive. Wars make money. Wars draw cash. And so, if the Gulf of Tonkin was a lie, what makes you think that you haven't been lied to for a long, long time? What makes you think that you should believe some story based in fiction, in fairy tales, in not how science works? Because you were told to. Because your parents said you need to listen to the cops, your teachers, your principal, your boss, and certainly your government. That's how this goes, right? And it can't be a lie. Come on, man. How high would this thing have to go? You're crazy. Really? Because Vietnam's a lie. Because 9/11's a lie. And they trick you. Oh, and they get you. Because when you ask questions about 9/11, they go, out of respect for the families, we are not going to reopen this case. Respect for the families. Respect for the families. The families want to know what happened to their loved ones because your story makes no sense. You're telling me that my husband crashed in a field and then disappeared? I have questions. That's not respect. It's a lie. It's a cover-up. It's a conspiracy. But it's based in more truth than the actual textbook explanation could possibly be. Use your head. Use your common sense. Use the brain God gave you. Whoever created you, for whatever purpose, you're in control now of the thoughts you have and the logic you apply to the situations in your world. It makes no sense to follow blindly. It's what they want. It's what they've always wanted. Because, like I've said from the beginning, you were genetically designed to get up, go to work, and shut up. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid of the people that you hired by electing them. You pay to do their job. You did not appoint your king. You elected your officials. Do what is right for you, and you will do what's right for your society, and we have a shot. Because right now, 9/11 could happen tomorrow. Because this happened 18 years ago. And you just accept it. Because it's what they said. So it must be true. I have years, years of examples of how you have been lied to. About why. What's the end game? Control. What's the end game? That you will believe anything. Because if you can believe that on September 11th, the laws of physics, the actual applicable laws of your hand can't go through another physics, were thrown out the window because an office, an aura, a mystique, a very fallible human being said so with the right suit on, if you think that that is how this world works and you think that my actual information is simply paranoia, just know. Just if you believe what you are told, just know it's not me, man. You're crazy.